Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
So these are the principles. This is the beginning of it. We're going to go, we've been on repentance. Now we're on faith towards God. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. What's our two biggest enemies? Remember from last week? Fear and doubt. Fear and doubt. That's your two biggest enemies. It's not the devil. Remember, the devil's already been defeated, and Jesus has already paid the price. Now, faith is the price, is what the currency pays the price, is the currency to heaven now, see? Is our faith, is the currency. That's what pays the price to tap into the grace of God from heaven. For by grace you have been saved through faith. All the grace is in heaven, and you receive it through faith. Did you catch that? So that's important to understand that. Faith is the currency of heaven. So faith moves heaven. Nothing happens in the kingdom of God without faith. So we have to be in faith. So fear and doubt are our biggest enemies. So the enemy will work through fear. Remember, do you remember me teaching that fear has to have two attributes? Because fear in the world is categorized. Okay? So xenophobia, that's the fear of strangers, right? Fear of strangers or foreigners, xenophobia. And then agoraphobia, that's the fear of wide open spaces. So fear is categorized, but it has to have two attributes. It has to be imminent, present, and it has to have power. It has to be potent. Fear has to have two attributes, power, and it has to be present. So that's why I said, you know, I have a fear of snakes. I don't like them. Copperheads, right? I remember I'd go to Cumberland Lake with a big stick. We'd walk down to the dock all the time because there was copperheads and snakes around. I always carried a big stick, keep them away. But now here, I'm not studying those snakes. I ain't studying it. All you have to do is remove one attribute, and the fear will go away. It can't have power if it's not here, right? That's why we're to fear God, honor, respect, and be loyal to Him. That's the fear of God, and God only. Because God is omnipresent, right? And He's omnipotent and omnipotent. He's all-powerful, and He's present. So when you understand that, you don't have to be afraid, because you know He's with you. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we have the fear of God, it's a healthy place. We don't fear man. We don't fear anything. We fear God, and we're trusting Him. You see that? It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. In Proverbs 19:23, abide in satisfaction. You'll be fulfilled in life when you walk in the fear of God. So faith towards God is the fear of God. Are you with me? So we don't have to be afraid of anything. That's why Jesus always said, do not be afraid. He would say that. Do not be afraid. Then he would tell a parable. He didn't want you to be afraid. Now watch. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul was urging Timothy, his young protege, to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you're called, by which you have been called by, and in the presence of many witnesses. So we've been called in the presence of many witnesses. We've been to fight the good fight. We're to fight for faith. You got to fight for what you believe. Yeah, because fear and doubt's going to try to get on you. And it's even worse now. And you know what that little movie I went to last night, Toy Story? It was a real good depiction of devices. And that's a reason why there's so much fear, because there's no connections with people. We gotta really get a hold of that. All right. So here's the idea. We're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. This is what he said. He said, at the end of his life, Paul said this, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. I've kept the faith. For 2 Timothy 4:7. That's what he says in 2 Timothy 4:1. He says, now the Spirit expressingly says, some will fall away from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies of hypocrisy. So there's all kinds of deception around us everywhere. But if we stay in the faith, we can overcome every one of them.
Amen.
Every one of them. Yeah. Are you with me? They're overcome in the faith. You are an overcomer because you're in the faith. That's what you are. You're an overcomer. You're a Nike. That's what Nike means. It's the Greek word for overcomer. I like that. God knew they were going to make Nike tennis shoes for people. You're an overcomer. When you're in the faith, you're an overcomer. Now get a hold of this. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, when our thoughts obey Christ, we're choosing faith. You see that? When our thoughts obey Christ, we're choosing faith. Anybody had any arguments in their head this week? What'd you say? She said not just in her head, but that's okay. So the idea is those arguments, God wants to remove those, and he wants you to listen to him and yield to him and yield to his ways. And when you will, it'll produce peace in your life. And then you can make a conscious, healthy decision on direction in your life and with wisdom. That's why he says, if anyone lacks wisdom in James 1:6, ask God in faith. Ask God in faith. You see that? And not in doubt. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea tossed to and fro. For he will be like a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. When you doubt, fear and doubts are biggest sin. When you doubt, you're unstable in every way of your life. It makes you unstable. But when your faith is towards God, it makes you stable because he's stable. He's steady and he's consistent and he will never move. He will never fail you. He will never leave you. He is stable forever.
That's right.
And that you can put your faith in him.
Amen.
And God will show up in your life.
Yep.
Anybody face any trials this week? So now, that's what the trials are for. God's testing you to see where you're going to put your faith. If your faith's towards Christ, your faith has passed the test. See, when it doesn't go towards Christ, it's inferior. When it goes towards Christ, it's superior. Superior. Supernatural. Above the natural. And that's what faith is. It's supernatural. We want our faith to be supernatural, above the natural. It's not the common. It's above the natural. And that's what God's people are. They walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
So sickness, job loss, financial struggles, rebellious children, difficulties in our marriages are not our enemies. Our enemies are the evil spiritual powers of darkness that take advantage of trials and try to instill fear and doubt in our hearts, for the purpose of causing us to lose hope. If you lose hope, you lost everything.
Right.
Hope is a joyful anticipation of good.
Yeah.
That's why it says hope in Romans 5, hope does not disappoint.
Nope.
It doesn't disappoint, it appoints. In other words, you miss your appointment when you're disappointed. You see, hope does not disappoint, but it appoints. Why? Because the love of God is being poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit. When the love of God is flowing through you, his wisdom is flowing through you. He's given you wisdom. He's given what you need for direction in life. He's given you everything you need in life when wisdom is flowing through you. Am I making sense? Come on, am I? That's because you have hope. And that's a joyful anticipation of good. And that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. hoped for and the evidence of things not. I've got evidence. My God is going to get me through this. Are you with me? The courtroom of heaven is in session. I've got evidence. I've got a witness. I'm going to make it through this thing. Are you with me? I can make it over this thing. I'm an overcomer. Come on now. You got to fight for this thing. Fight for what you believe. I'm spitting now. You guys get me spitting all the time. Now watch. He wants you to demolish those strongholds in your thoughts. Tear them down with what God says about it. You begin to speak what God says. Now look, when it's built on the foundation of faith, it's going to work. Kingdom faith toward God even removes the fear of death. It removes the fear of death. 1 Corinthians 15 says, death has been swallowed up. You see, it's not, the power's there. We can all die, but it's not present. We haven't died yet, right? So we don't have anything to fear because we know where we're headed. Are you with me? So to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But you see, for a non-believer, to be absent from the body is to be separated from God. That's hell. But when our faith is towards God, we'll be present with him. When we don't have faith towards God, we'll be separated from him. Now think, Paul knew this was true. This is why he could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And to die is gain, Philippians 1:21. Faith is the victory that leads to pure, complete, and total salvation. Don't allow fear and doubt to rule your life. Don't allow fear and doubt to rule your life. The reason why so many people have a problem with faith is because it appears counterintuitive. Counterintuitive. It seemingly goes against rational thinking and rational thoughts. The world tends to take external appearances and circumstances at face value. At face value. Looks are often deceiving. Boy, we live in such an optic world today. Everything has to be so-and-so, right? Looks can be so deceiving. However, we will never know the truth about any situation until we can see it from God's perspective. We'll never know the truth about anything until we can see it from God's perspective. You see, that's what they do with people that lead banks and that are trained in banking. They will have them handle money so much. That's part of their training, is to handle money. To handle money so much that when something comes across the counter that's not real, they just by the touch, they say, that's not going to work because that's not real. Because you've handled the real so much, the truth, you know what's not real. You know, this isn't going to work for me. That's why we need faith towards God. Because there's all kinds of things out there trying to show us counterfeits and things that are trying to be real that aren't. But when you see, you don't need to even study the devil. You don't need to study. You know, we were watching the movie Toy Story yesterday, and before it, they had all these movies that were coming. And there was this one about witches and hexes. I said, you see what they're doing? They're trying to get people an appetite for that evil and that wrong. And they're using people that want to come to see something good. See, I handled the real enough to know what they was doing. That's how it is, folks. Yeah. But you know, you can sit there in peace. No, this is what they're up to. Now watch. So looks can be deceiving. But when faith is involved, you begin to see it from his perspective. And that's what we need, faith. We need faith. Now, here's something I want to show you. So how many of you know what the word paradox means? Paradox. Faith is a paradox, but the word paradox from the Greek, it means belief, thinking, what you think, what you believe. It means it refers to something that was contrary to common, something that was contrary to common opinion or expectation. That's what paradox is. It's the Greek word paradoxon, paradoxon. So think about this. To the world, faith makes no sense. The world says, faith, the world says, I have to see it to believe it. Faith says, I have to believe it to see it. That's the way faith works. Because faith is a paradox. A paradox is an apparently contradictory statement that nevertheless is true. Kingdom life is built on paradoxes. Give me Matthew 19:30 real quick. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Now see, that's not the way the world sees things, is it? Give me Matthew 23:11, Tim. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's the greatest? Yeah, one who serves. Isn't that amazing? You know what? There's something about serving. I even like to help the waitresses. I'll pile the stuff up and put it at the edge of the table for them. And Donita does that too. I kind of learned a little bit of that from her. But I do. Help them. Seems like when you're serving, it just feels good. When you serve people, serve your husband, serve your wife. When you begin to put God's principles in place, he takes care of every area of your life. Look what it says. Who is the greatest among you shall be your servant. Start serving each other. Serve your children. Teach your children. I had to teach my kids things. Sometimes it takes longer, sometimes, right? But when you teach them and it shows up, man, it's rewarding. They start serving people and opening the door. My son still, man, he's the first one to get the door, man. He's waiting with the door. You know, every time we go somewhere, now my grandson, he's waiting with the door. You know, it's been passed on as serving others. It's just something about it. You're designed for that. You are designed for that. Now look what it says. Matthew 18:4. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Wow, look at that. The person who's humble. Humble, not proud and got their chest all puffed up and talking about how great they are. Humble. Serving. You see that? That's who's the greatest in the kingdom. When we'll serve, it gets the kingdom moving. That's why he says God resists the proud in James 4. God resists the proud, but he gives what? Grace to the humble. He resists the proud. The word resist. Have you been frustrated this week? Frustration is your friend. God's frustrating you because he's wanting you to be more dependent on him. He's wanting your faith towards him. He resists the proud. He frustrates you. You're trying to do things on your own and not depend on God. But he gives grace to the humble. When I come down and I'll depend on him, now I get grace. Grace is, heaven is full of grace. Grace is like a full bank account. Now I use my faith. Now it's flowing back to me. Now I can give grace to others. I give grace to my wife, to my children, to my neighbors, to my boss at work. We're to represent Christ at work, not come home and talk about how he's been breathing down our neck and telling us all this negative stuff and pouring it out on our family. That right there hurts your family. There's no faith towards God in that. Humble. God wants us to be humble. When we will humble ourselves, it'll be like a little child. Boy, that feels good to be humble. And you know, that's not something you tell everybody, I'm humble. You know, you just be it. You serve people. There's something about serving others. Matthew 16:25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now that's a paradox. People don't understand that, do they? If you're going to save it, you got to lose it for Christ's sake, right? That's the way it is. We have to lose it for Christ's sake. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith. Now faith. That's the faith we want to live in. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, when I'm in now faith, I have evidence, even in the trial. When I'm in the trial, listen to me. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work. Watch this, that you may be complete, lacking nothing. You know why the test and the trial is so important? You know why he says, count it all joy? Do your math. Count it as joy. When you're going through something, get excited about it. Because guess what? Guess what the end result is? You will be lacking nothing. You're going to be lacking nothing. You're going to be complete. You're going to be fulfilled. And now when you look back on your life, you're going to have no regrets because you have done the will of God in your life. Are you listening to me today? Come on. That's what it's about right there. Lacking nothing. And that's why count it all joy. Begin to count it as joy what you're going through. Get a hold of this. This is what's going on. And see, it's the outcome. And that's what fruit is. It's the outcome. When you pass the test, the outcome is you lack nothing. And I'm not talking about having a bank account and nine cars and a barn and a big three houses and rental property. No, I'm not talking about all that. I'm talking about you being fulfilled in life and fulfilling God's will, and your children are following Jesus, and the people who knew you want to follow Jesus. Am I making sense? Yeah. Complete, lacking nothing. He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until that day. In Mark 11:22, Jesus said, have faith in God, because God alone is unshakable. He's not going to let you down. You're not going to fail with him. You can't fail with God. You can't. That's why low esteem, get rid of it. God's with you. You can't fail with him. He is stable. He is steady. And he is forever. He is forever. Faith in God means trusting in his person, not in his provision. It means believing in him because of who he is, not because of what he does. Faith that always seeks signs is immature. It's immature faith. Kingdom faith toward God believes in what is hoped for and not yet seen. Give me John chapter 4, verse 46 real quick. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now look at what Jesus said. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. You know what? It doesn't say this in the Bible, but I just kind of used my own imagination that I think Jesus had seen a lot of people coming to him for their own benefit, their own motives, their own agenda. What he could do for them, what he could give them, and not for him. A lot of people are doing that. And God wants us to come to him because we want him. That's what a relationship is. Now listen, this sounds harsh. There wasn't any compassion in that. His son was dying. Jesus said, unless you see a miracle, you will not believe. Here's a man with a real problem. You would think that Jesus would respond with more compassion. Instead, he gives a rebuke of faith that always seeks signs. Now, think about that. I believe something else is going on. Jesus was testing his faith, but also he was testing his motives. Now, sometimes people have false motives. You know, they want to tell you they're your best friend because they're up to something. Their motives, they have another agenda. You're going to run across one or two of those in life. The man who sought his help, he passed the test. How do you know that? Now, watch this. Give me verse 49 real quick. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word of the Lord, the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them, he thought about it, when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. That's exactly the time that Jesus said, your son is healed. You go. You see that? So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him. So he had faith. Are you with me? Your son lives. Now look, and he himself believed and his whole household. Well, that's a miracle right there, isn't it? See, he wasn't just looking for a miracle or a sign and a wonder. He needed Jesus, and he knew it. He knew only Jesus could take care of this problem this boy had. Sometimes that's really all you have is your faith. But that's what God wants to show you. He wants to show you that your faith is going to work. The grieving father's only concern was the life of his dying son. He wasn't after a flashy display of a spectacular miracle. He just wanted his son to be well and made whole again. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. That was his confidence. He was healed. The verification of his son's healing at the exact moment Jesus announced it solidified the man's faith to the point that he and his whole household was healed and saved and converted. The kingdom business took place. The exchange took place. The currency took place. His whole family was saved. He tapped into that grace, and the exchange took place. Father transacted kingdom business with kingdom currency. Faith had received a kingdom benefit, and that's what happens in our lives. You can watch it work in your life. You can watch it work if you put it to work. Sometimes God wants us to fight for our faith because fighting for our faith strengthens our faith. Blessings don't always come when we want them. Healings do not always occur on our timetable. Hardships do not always go away as quickly as we would like. God uses these times to test our faith. He's not bringing the hard times. He's not bringing the problems. He's using those to test your faith. Because you can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you respond to what happens to you. And God wants you to respond in faith. He is asking, will you trust me? No matter what, will you trust me? Even if you don't get what you want when you want it, the way you want it, will you still believe? He wants to see our faith at work. He wants to see our faith at work, and he wants us to see that our faith works. He wants us to see it. It isn't miracles that keep us. It is the Word of God, that we keep the Word of God coming in our hearts. Faith comes by hearing. We keep hearing it, and now our faith is moving towards God. We're going to keep our faith towards God. The man with a sick son believed Jesus' word and received a miracle. His faith was in Christ, not what Christ could do. Blessings are temporary. Miracles are temporary. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but Lazarus died again after that. Signs and wonders are temporary, but God is permanent. Faith is not optimism. Faith produces optimism. Optimism doesn't have an author. Faith has an author. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Faith has an author. Optimism doesn't. Optimism says it's going to work out. Faith says God is going to work it out. God is going to work all things together for your good and for his glory. Ephesians 2:8 says we're saved by grace through faith. Remember, faith is the currency that takes what we need, the grace we need from heaven. We receive it. Because see, you can be saved, sad, and stuck, and stagnant. You want to be saved, stuck, and stagnant? You can be delivered from Egypt, but you can be stuck, stagnant, and sad. If you're going to get out of being stuck, stagnant, and sad, you've got to keep pursuing God and being saved. That's why it says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who perish. But those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. God's power can keep flowing in your life when your faith is towards him. And he's going to save those areas that are causing you problems in your life. That's why it says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. This is pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You can't have salvation without faith. Prayer is rendered ineffective without faith.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.
of